Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for April 2005. This is your host and Highway Minister Wyatt Timmons saying welcome to our regular listeners and to all the new folks who've picked up your first copy of Highways and Byways. Now, if you're looking for a traditional sermon and hymnal approach to the Lord, you may want to eject this CD right now before you get yourself all offended at our less than traditional approach to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, if no one's around, you could keep on playing this CD. You may wind up enjoying it overall, and, well, we won't tell anybody. It'll be your little secret with the Holy Ghost. We don't strive to be different for the sake of being different, by the way. We all come by our uniqueness as a result of God's good pleasure to have diversity in life. So we're simply being who we were created to be, reaching out to others who may be able to relate with a little non-traditional Christianity. Over the next hour or so, we hope to bring you a good balance, stirring up your spiritual senses, making you smile or even laugh along the way with a little humor. I think it's always important that we remain willing to laugh at ourselves a bit. And in this balance of things to come, we want to try to bring a nice mix of musical styles from various independent Christian artists that you're not going to hear anywhere else for the best part. There's probably a little bit of something for everybody somewhere along the way with our musical selections this month, so if a certain style doesn't grab you, you can always push the track button and move on to the next segment. Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis will bring some thoughts on creation versus evolution. It's always an excellent chance to help balance out some things that are being taught as fact that, well, if you pardon my bad grammar, ain't necessarily so. And since balance seems to be our key word for this month, we'll pull out another segment from Your Word for the Day. That's from the archives of our former radio program, from yours truly. That day, Your Word for the Day was what else? Balance. Now, this will be placed in the time slot that we've set aside for our Bible study time segment on Highways and Byways. If you get tired of our archived Your Word for the Day segments, you can write or call into the voicemail line and suggest a topic or bring a spiritually related question for us to tackle, and we'll be happy to address it. The contact information is on the front of the CD, so by all means, take advantage of our voicemail line for your God questions, your prayer concerns, and even your comments about Highways and Byways. Okay, if balance is the buzzword this month, then it's time to move on to something besides me talking. Here's our first song of the month from a group making their debut on Highways and Byways. They bring a nice balance of acoustic and electric together. The group calls themselves Common Thread, and this song features Jennifer Haycraft with a song called Light of Hope. Once again, welcome to Highways and Byways for April 2005. As we continue to bring church out of the box for others who just don't quite seem to fit into the box themselves.
Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? The light of hope in the distance shines on.
What will become of me? Believe I will see His goodness in the land of the living. I put my hope in You, my Savior, my God. I put my trust in You.
What else can I trust in?
I trade the hope. can I trust in? I'd trade the oil of sadness for your oil of gladness. Let it pour, let it pour down on me, down on me. I'll take your beauty, God,
for these ashes.
I'll take your mercy, Jesus,
for my symphony.
Take your joy, my King,
for the spirit of heaviness.
I'll trade my darkness for the dawn,
the dawn
of a new day,
for the hope,
for the hope of a new day,
for the light
of a new day.
Jesus. Now who did crucify him?
Answers with Ken Ham, host of the acclaimed film, The Genesis Solution. Well, Ken, Mel Gibson's movie of last year, The Passion of the Christ, stirred up a lot of claims of anti-Semitism concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So who did kill Jesus?
You know, I found it very interesting that some traditional Jews have accused the movie, and even the New Testament, of anti-Semitism. Now, the New Testament accounts, including the Gospel of Luke, were actually written by Jews. The New Testament clearly states that Jesus was sentenced to an excruciating death by a cruel and cowardly Roman governor, flogged by a Roman whip, fastened to a Roman cross by Roman nails, but no one that I know of is crazy enough to persecute Italians as Christ killers. You know, in the movie, Gibson's own hand actually appears as the one holding the nail hammered into Jesus' wrist. Gibson stated that he did this to show that it was his fault that Christ died. You see, if people really want to know who's to blame for Jesus' death, they need to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and read the account of Adam's sin. Because we are descendants of Adam, what he did, we did. Jesus died and rose to save us from our sin. Thus, in that sense, we're all responsible for crucifying our Creator. I'm talking about the blame passed around in the garden after Adam ate the forbidden fruit, which, by the way, might not have been an apple. The Bible really doesn't tell us what kind of fruit it was. But it does answer more important questions, like who should take the blame? Although Eve was the first to eat the forbidden fruit, it was actually Adam who's to blame. Now, why is this? Well, Genesis tells us that God gave Adam the specific instructions not to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, he was the head of the human race. But Adam went along with Eve and also ate the fruit. So as the God-ordained leader of his family, Adam should have gone to God for a solution instead of taking matters into his own hands. Because of Adam's rebellion, he brought sin and death into the world. You know, it's human nature to pass blame to others because we're just like our ancestor Adam. For instance, we often blame God for death and suffering instead of taking responsibility for the fact that we sinned in Adam, and thus it's our fault the creation is groaning today.
One of the favorite stories that I share, people always ask, is the first funeral that I ever had to do. And the first funeral I did was for my mother-in-law. We had to go upstate to the family plot, which was about a 3-hour ride. A lot of her family was older and they didn't make the trip down, so we were going to do another service at the graveside. And many of them had never met me or never seen me preach. And again, I had worked on all this and worded everything so that I didn't mess anything up. And when we got there, you know, I got out and I told the funeral director, I've never done this before. How do you do this? And he said, well, just walk in front of the casket and stand on the boards. So I got in front, we walked up, and I went over the hole, and under that artificial turf was a couple 2x10s, and they're a little bouncy, and I'm shaking, and I got my Bible, and everyone's getting under the little tent. And I said with the best ministerial voice I could, would you please bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer? And everyone did. They closed their eyes, they bowed their heads, and I opened my Bible up so I could read this beautiful, godly prayer that I had written. And when I did, all my notes fell out into the grave. It was like little leaves just fluttering, and I'm trying to catch them. I don't know what it's like in your church, but in our church, if there's more than 5 seconds of silence during prayer meeting, people start to one-eye it. You know what I'm saying? They go, just want to make sure they didn't miss the rapture, you know? I was down to about 2 seconds. I looked up to see if anybody saw what I did, and everybody had their heads bowed and eyes closed except one. The funeral director's in the back, and he's going, I'm out of time. I got to pray. But when I saw that, I started to laugh and I said, oh God, oh God, help me. I don't know what to say. Oh God. Oh, and I'm struggling. And, you know, and I have one of those weird laughs. I kind of sound like I've got an asthma attack and I'm crying. And I'm in pain and I'm saying, oh Lord, I don't know what to say. Oh God, help me. And one of those dear aunts that sits in the front, you know, one of those who shaves off her eyebrows and draws them back on, you know, well, this dear lady had lost her sense of direction, and she had these two rainbows. Kind of looked like somebody was always asking her a question, you know what I'm saying? She said, oh, he loved her so much. And I'm thinking, she thinks I'm crying. And I'm laughing even harder, and I'm struggling to get my composure.
There is a season to change. Now, an End Times update.
Each month we bring you a few End Time Report updates. As I looked into my backlog of End Time Report files, I saw so many that I've passed over in the last few months that I had to make a decision to either delete them and forget about them, or cover as many as we could without losing too much of our normal format and identity in the process. So that became the challenge for this month's production, along with finding myself working back on the road again. Well, I thank God for his provision, and I welcome a good challenge when it presents itself, so here we go. If this is your first introduction to Highways and Byways, then it's also your first introduction to an End Time Report. Now, we use these as a sort of combined update and commentary segment. Now, let's just take a moment to clarify what an End Time Report is and is not. What it is an ongoing monitoring method that we employ with the help of some Christian news agencies that also monitor and report on events that line up with biblical prophecies. And we also use some mainstream secular news groups that aren't reporting the events because they recognize how they line up with the biblical prophecies, but because it helps them to sell the evening news. What an end time report is not, is a declaration that the world is ending tomorrow. It's not a claim that we have any greater access to the time and season of Christ's return, because the Word tells us that no man knows the day or the hour of Christ's return, and that includes me. What we hope to accomplish is to stir up your spiritual senses with an awareness of the current events in the world at large, then let you decide how these events line up inside your heart with God's Word and what He's forewarned us about. Let me approach this with an example before we move into our first report. If I bring you a report titled, The Mark of the Beast, it's not a declaration or identification of a particular form of technology as the ultimate mark of Satan for humanity. People have been trying to figure out exactly what this mark is going to be for a long, long time. But it is designed to make us a little more aware of the technology that I am convinced is shaping the ultimate mark that the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation. There we read that all, both great and small, rich and poor, will need to accept a mark upon their foreheads or their forearm in order to buy or sell. Now, as I've said before, I say again, there's a difference in the doomsday preacher who sees the devil behind every doorknob and an honest attempt to be sober and vigilant, to watch for the things that may one day come to devour us if we're not aware. Well, our first report this month falls under the header of false prophets or false Christs category. The Reverend Sun Myung Moon remains with us on planet Earth and is still claiming to be Christ himself. In Moon's teaching, God himself is shedding tears over mankind's obsession with the cross, which, according to Mr. Moon, prevents us from recognizing the real returning Lord. And who is that? Mr. Moon himself. It's no secret. It's something he's patiently explained to many audiences of congressmen and former presidents over the years in Washington pageants that hardly ever make the news. We reported on one of those in the last quarter of 2004, by the way. Well, this fellow's not the only false Christ at present, but Mr. Sun Young Moon and his Moonies are a sobering reminder of the words of Christ on things to watch for us, signs of the birthing pains which will precede the return of Jesus. As far as being obsessed with the cross, I don't think we focus upon it enough at times. Oh, come Easter season, we set our minds and hopefully our hearts upon the cross, but at other times, we tend to forget the price that Jesus paid for our spiritual freedom and redemption. Our next posting comes from a story placed by Mary Ann Mott in the National Geographic News. And this is something that I put under the category of fear for the future. She writes that scientists have begun blurring the line between human and animal by producing chimeras, a hybrid creature that's part human and part animal. Here's my commentary right now. God help us. She goes on to write, Chinese scientists at the Shanghai Second Medical University in 2003 successfully fused human cells with rabbit eggs. The embryos were reportedly the first human and animal chimeras successfully created. They were allowed to develop for several days in the laboratory before scientists destroyed the embryos in order to harvest the stem cells. In Minnesota last year, researchers at the Mayo Clinic created pigs with human blood flowing through their bodies. And at Stanford University in California, an experiment might be done later this year to create mice with human brains. Scientists feel that the more human-like the animal, the better research model it makes for testing, for possibly growing spare parts such as livers, to transplant into humans. But creating human-animal chimeras, named after a monster, by the way, in Greek mythology, that had a lion's head, a goat's body, and a serpent's tail, has raised some troubling questions. What new subhuman combinations should be produced and for what purpose? At what point would it be considered human? And what rights, if any, should it have? There are currently no United States federal laws that address these issues. To be perfectly honest with you, my immediate concern is how this is going to fan the flames for that little group of people called PETA. That acronym stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, because they've always maintained that animals are people too. I'm also the member of an organization, much larger, loosely put together. It shares the same acronym, by the way, PETA. Our group, however, stands for People Eating Tasty Animals. To round out and balance our first end time report potpourri here, we'll go to the deceiving spirits category. In an article posted by Ron Strom from WorldNetDaily.com, we see that members of the United States Air Force, stationed at a Texas base, which prides itself as being the most religiously diverse, are attending weekly meetings for devotees of the Wiccan religion at a base facility. Though the Wiccan meetings at Lackland Air Force Base are not considered services, since there's no official chaplain presiding, they do draw between 25 and 50 people. All the individuals assigned to Lackland are free to worship the faith of their choosing, whether traditional or non-traditional, as guaranteed to each of us under the United States Constitution. Oscar Balladares, chief of media relations at the base, told WorldNet Daily, emphasizing that the Wiccan meetings revolve around discussions for caring about the earth and its resources, and they do not include any type of satanic worship. Well, often associated with Satanism, Wiccans, known also as witches or neopagans, don't believe in Satan, according to the online description. From Encyclopedia.com, we get this definition of Wicca. This form of witchcraft has nothing to do with sorcery. It is instead based on a reverence for nature and the worship of a fertility goddess, a restrained hedonism and group magic aimed at healing. Hedonism, by definition, by the way, is the teaching that pleasure is the principal good and proper goal of all action, self-indulgence. The standard of value is whatever gives you pleasure. In other words, if it feels good for you, it's okay. Well, just a side note or two here, friends. I think it's important to communicate that even if Wiccans don't acknowledge the existence of Satan, Satan certainly acknowledges the existence of all Wiccans. Any successful spell that they conjure up is powered by the very demons that they think don't exist. Furthermore, the pursuit of self-indulgence, self-gratification, and satisfaction all center on the very thing that got Lucifer thrown out of heaven and his name being taken away. It was Lucifer's focus upon me, myself, and I that got him into trouble, and it's the same thing that keeps so many folks from entering into that place of peace, joy, and love with God. The Word of God teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God, of course, and then God will take care of our every need. In any event, this story of the Wiccans and their witchcraft is a perfect example of the spiritual state of affairs that we find ourselves in currently. Well, our featured independent artist this month is a fellow you may never hear on the radio or a commercial album for that matter, but he'd be quite successful in the Christian music realm if he wanted to be. His name is Steve DeZuba, and he fits into the Christian country artist category quite nicely. He sent his solo album to House of Prayer Radio at my request a few years ago while we were still on the air, and I was simply blessed and impressed by his songwriting. By trade, Steve makes a living running a business that moves houses and buildings and such. And he makes his home in Millerton, PA. His faith in God and his passion for the Word of God flow out from every song, and it's refreshing to hear an artist who can pull off the unplugged solo act, just Steve and his guitar. We're going to hear a song called God Has Created Everything, and then one that says, Check the Level of My Faith. Here's two in a row from Steve DeZuba, our featured artist for Highways and Byways, April 2005.
Just look and see what God has done. A creation of miracles underneath the sun. But it's hard to understand how an all-knowing God could ever care for man. God has created everything. It's evident in everything I see. God has created everything, and He's created a new man in me. Any time of the year reaffirms my convictions, His handiwork is near. The spring rain or fallen snow makes me want to rise up and tell everyone I know. God has created everything. It's evident in everything I see. God has created everything, and He's created a new man in me. It's hard to imagine. At one time I was blind, thinking practicing religion was just a waste of time. But praise God, He has opened up my eyes so I can see that it's not just religion, it's a way of life for me.
and I pray that someday you'll see what I see. God has created everything. It's evident in everything I see. God has created everything, and He's created a new man in me. Yes, He's created a new man in me. Lord, check the level of my faith, then raise it higher. Help me hurdle worldly things in my way. I want to be on fire. If there's something wrong inside of me, not pleasing to your eye, help me to correct it before the day goes by. Lord, check the level of my faith, then raise it higher. Lord, you know my heart more than I know myself, and I don't want to leave my faith sitting somewhere on a shelf. For time is much too precious to let a day go by without telling someone what I believe and why. And there's so much work out there for me to do, so help me purify myself for you. Lord, check the level of my faith, then raise it higher. Help me hurdle worldly things in my way. I wanna be on fire. If there's something wrong inside of me, not pleasing to your eye, help me to correct it before the day goes by. Lord, check the level of my faith, then raise it higher. Lord, 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 check the level of my faith, then raise it higher. Help me hurdle worldly things in my way. I wanna be on fire. If there's something wrong inside of me, not pleasing to your eye, help me to correct it before the day goes by. Lord, check the level of my faith, then raise it higher. Lord, 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 check the level of my faith, then raise it higher.
Well, next up is the Word on the Street segment with Rob Lacey. If you've heard the previous segments over the last few volumes of Highways and Byways, then you know that we've already covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. For new listeners, I'll explain this a bit. Rob Lacey's an actor and a writer, among other things, and he's not only written the Bible in a common street language format, he's also turned it into a one-man stage performance. Past volumes have covered the first king of Israel, King Saul, the introduction of the boy David, and his ultimate rise to the throne of Israel. And all of this covered several chapters of the Bible, as I said, in a short period of time. This month, Rob takes us through the book of Ecclesiastes in about 6 minutes, and in the process, we get the inside view of the now old King Solomon, the son of King David. It's an interesting journey through the mind of a person the Bible calls the wisest man ever born. Here we have the observations of a man who has literally done it all and had every bit of wealth needed to do it. And in the end, he says, well, I'll let Rob break it down for us. Here's the word on the street for April.
A disillusioned old king trying to make sense of it all. Some cuttings. The words of the wise one, Solomon Davidson, king in Jerusalem. What's the point? What is the point? Asks the wise one. It's all utterly worthless. Everything's a total waste of space. What's the payoff from all the hours we work? What's the point in even breaking sweat? One generation dies, another takes its place. The world keeps turning. Even nature is repetitive. The wind, the water cycle, it's all so predictable. Everything's so totally boring. Mind-numbingly dull. But you keep looking, listening as if something new's gonna happen. What's gone down will go down again. What's been done will be done again. There's nothing new, original. It's all repeats. It's all been done before. Claims that originality are clichés already. But no one remembers their history. Me, the wise one. I'm king of Israel in the big smog Jerusalem. I set myself strict study regimes. Desperate to understand what goes on and why. I tell you, God slapped a heavy-duty job on us. I've studied what goes on, who does what, and what it all means, and it means zilch. Zero. Nothing. A big fat O. Trying to wrestle with it is like trying to catch the wind in a fishing net. I thought, and my gut agreed, right, let's take this pleasure thing all the way, see if it works. But it was pointless, totally pointless. Laughter's a waste of energy, I said. What good does it do? I tried wine, see if that could lighten the mood. I tried messing around, all desperate experimentation, desperate to work out if anything was worth squat in the few years we've got on this backwater of a planet. I buried myself in work, took on worthy projects, built houses, set up businesses, made gardens and parks, planted every fruit tree you can think of. He goes on with his checked-off to-do list, which pushed him into the major league of wealth. Whatever I fancied, I bought. Whatever caught my eye, I went for it and sucked the life out of it. There was some job satisfaction in making things, some sort of payoff for my hard work. But when I sat back and assessed it all, when I did a stock take of all I'd made happen, I still thought, what's the point? Why chase wind? Am I really any better off than I was? Then I mulled over the word wisdom for a while, grappled with insanity and stupidity, trying to make some sense of it all. What's the next king going to do that I've not already done? I made some progress. Wisdom outguns stupidity, like light overpowers darkness. Some progress. But then, they both die in the end. So what's the point? What more can a guy do than eat, drink and get some sort of satisfaction from his work? But even this is subject to God handing it over, for without God around, who can eat and enjoy? If somehow we please God, he doles out wisdom, understanding, contentment. But if we wind him up, he makes us work our socks off just to hand it over to the one he's taking a liking to. Pointless wind chasing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Right timing. Everything's got its time. Everything has a season. Birth times, death times. Planting times, harvest times. Killing times, healing times. Times to tear things down. Times to build things up. Times to cry. times to laugh, times to grieve, times to party, times to throw stones, times to collect them up, times to hold someone close, times to hold back. There's a right time to turn the whole place upside down till you find something, a right time to write it off as lost. There's a time to hoard, there's a time to chuck things out, a time to tear things up, a time to repair things. Sometimes it's best to shut your mouth, other times it's crucial you speak up. There's a right time to love, a right time to hate, a right time for war, a right time for peace. Where's the payoff? What's the point? All this back-breaking, brain-aching work that people do day in, day out. Why? God sets seasons for everything. At the right time, everything can work. But he's also programmed us with the huge questions of life, the universe, and everything echoing around our brains. But we can't know. How can we? It's all way too deep. Like trying to get to the bottom of the ocean when all we've been given is a plastic snorkel and flippers. Where's all this got me? What am I sure of? I know the best thing is for people to be content and do good things while they're alive. For someone to be able to eat, drink, and enjoy their job is a gift from God. What God does lasts long after we've snuffed it. And he does all this to win our respect. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, conclusion. Remember the God who made you while you are still young, before the hassles of adult life kick in and you too end up saying, "Where's the fun gone?" Now it's out in the open. Now I've had my moan. Here's my conclusion. Respect God and live his way. This is our role, our responsibility. For God will judge everything we do. Secret or known, good or evil.
Purpose-driven life, a blueprint for Christian living in the 21st century, featuring pastor and author Rick Warren. Day 2, you are not an accident.
You are not an accident. Your birth was not a mistake, and your life was not a fluke. Now, your parents may not have planned you, but God did. And he wasn't surprised by your birth. In fact, long before you were conceived by your parents, you were conceived in the mind of God. You're alive because God wanted to create you. God prescribed every single detail of your body. He deliberately chose your race, the color of your skin, your hair, and every other feature. Because God made you for a reason, He also decided when you would be born and how long you would live. The point is, nothing in your life is arbitrary. It's all for a purpose. God's motive for creating you was His love. Now, why did God do all this? Because He is a God of love. God made you so He could love you. Now, that is a truth that you can build your life on. Love is the essence of God's character. God says in the Bible, "I have carried you since you were born. I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same." Now, if there was no God, we would all be accidents. And if that was true, life would have no purpose. But there is a God. And there is a God who made you for a reason. And your life does have profound meaning. We discover that meaning and purpose only when we make God the reference point of our lives.
That's Rick Warren from the new Purpose Driven Life Commuters Edition. If you are one of the over 21 million who has read The Purpose Driven Life, then this convenient audio is a great daily reminder of the book's life-changing message. Hear one chapter or all 40 chapters online at zondervan.com/purpose-driven-life.
As you travel, it's obvious that houses have numbers. Post office boxes have numbers. Telephones have numbers. The exits you pass by all have numbers. And you have a number with the government. But better still, God always has your number. Let's hear how Pastor Hank ties these numbers to the scriptures. Let's hear it, Hank.
Thanks, Mary. Do you feel lonely, forsaken? Maybe like you've failed God or messed up your life? That you're nothing but a big disappointment to yourself and everyone else? That you don't matter to anyone? No one cares for you? Feel like you're a lost soul while the world is swirling around you? No name, no number, no identity with anyone or anything that matters in life? Those feelings are not true. But let's go back to why they might exist. One reason could be sin. Now, I'm assuming you already have a relationship with your Creator, our Heavenly Father, by confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, there's good reason for those feelings, and you need to get a hold of Jesus right away. If you don't know how, get a hold of Wyatt Timmons through the contact info on the front of the CD, and he'll help you get a hold of God. Now, assuming you do have a relationship with the Almighty, why might you be suffering those lonely feelings? As I just said, it could be because of sin. Well, because of the blood of Jesus, though, you were brought into right relationship with God. Your sins were forgiven. You were given a new nature. You are called a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And that new creation has a name, Son of God. You see, we were adopted into the family of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, just like an earthly family, if you do something wrong, you're not cast out of that family. At least I hope not. You might even be called the black sheep of the family, but you're still a part of that family. You might not talk much with the other family members, but you still belong. In the same way, in fact even more so, you still belong to the family of God when you've sinned, but those sins have broken fellowship with God. That communication has been interrupted. The solution, if you have sinned, is to get right with God. But what if you're not aware of being in sin, and that you're trying to walk the Lord's way, and yet you're still living a lonely, empty, nameless, faceless, numberless life, and you feel like nothing, like a failure? Well, when we come back after a little break, I'll give you the likely answer for those feelings, my friend. Stay tuned.
Anna Eva drank the poison. I believed the lies. I was left broken-hearted. I became paralyzed. I could talk about all the sad things. I could sit around and feel real sorry for myself. I choose not to be a victim. Instead, consider me a survivor. This could be my finest hour.
Somebody once told me, coming out of the dark's a bright experience. Before you know it, you're laughing more, and that makes sense. Somebody once told me, if you can ride up the storm, the sun will come again. I've been holding my breath, sitting on the edge of my seat, waiting on this welcome to waken in. I've been afraid to feel, you know it's easier to be numb. God knows I've been trying to heal, 'cause I believe in freedom. I've been embracing revival, 'cause I'm too young to feel this tired. I've been trying to reckon with my clay hands and feet. I recognize my deep need. Somebody once told me, coming out of the dark's a bright experience. Before you know it, you're laughing more, and that makes sense. Somebody once told me, if you can ride out the storm, the sun will come again. I've been holding my breath, sitting on the edge of my seat, waiting on this welcome to awaken. Maybe God's more concerned with growing us up than a band of cutting teeth and the struggles of crawling. Somebody once told me, coming out of the dark's a bright experience. Before you know it, you're laughing more, and life makes sense. Somebody once told me, if you can ride out the storm, the sun will come again. I've been holding my breath, sitting on the edge of my seat, waiting on this welcome to waken in.
Before the break, I was addressing the question of you trying to walk God's way the best way you can, and yet you're still filled with feelings of loneliness, emptiness, living a nameless, numberless, faceless life of failure. What's going on? There's a good likelihood, friend, that it could just be the devil trying to give you a little depression, and if that works, giving you a lot of depression. What you need to do is go over God's Word and His wonderful promises. Promises like that in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. There are plenty more encouraging truths to meditate upon in God's Word, so I urge you to take a look for yourself. Make the choice to believe them, not your feelings. Feelings are entirely unreliable. Now, this reminds me of a story I heard from a preacher on the West Coast. We'll call him Reverend Smith, although that's not his real name. Some years ago, he had a radio program in the Seattle area. As was his custom, he would take some time off in the summer to travel the country with his family in an RV, and he did some preaching along the way. Well, by the time they had gotten into Indiana, he was out of preaching locations, and he was feeling pretty low. In fact, he was feeling like no one knew him, that his life was a big disappointment, that no one cared, and he had no future. In other words, he felt like you and I do from time to time. His kids were crying out that they needed a pizza for dinner, so when they saw a Pizza Hut at the next exit, he spun off and he parked. His wife and kids zipped in for that pizza, but he decided to stay in the RV and cry into his root beer. He didn't have a soda handy, so Feeling extra sorry for himself, he went across the street to the gas station to pick one up. As he was leaving, the payphone outside the gas station started ringing, and ringing, and ringing. He answered the phone. There was no one else around. The voice at the other end said, "I have a person-to-person call for Reverend Smith." He was Reverend Smith. "Who?" he asked, really shocked. "This is the operator. I have a person-to-person call for Reverend Smith. Is he there, please?" After looking around to see if anyone was playing a trick on him, he admitted that he was Reverend Smith. A female voice then came on the phone, very distraught. "Oh, Reverend Smith," she said, "I'm so glad I got a hold of you. I was here in," it was some town on the West Coast, "and I was so lonely and feeling forsaken that I decided to commit suicide. But while I was thinking of how to do this, I remembered hearing your program on the radio one time, and I really wanted to talk to you before I committed suicide, but I had no idea how to contact you. Then I noticed that I had been scribbling things on the pad I was using to make my suicide note, and I saw a bunch of numbers, and they looked like it might be a phone number. So I thought I would dial that number and ask for you before I ended it all." Well, Reverend Smith was speechless. Here he was, crying in his root beer, having a pity party, when the phone next to him rings. He's over 2,000 miles from his home. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know the number of that exit he took. He only knows he's in a gas station next to a Pizza Hut somewhere in Indiana. And he doesn't know the phone number in the phone booth. But God did. Jesus knew where Reverend Smith would be before he got there. The Holy Spirit guided that woman to scribble the phone number of that payphone down on her suicide pad. Well, Reverend Smith leaped into action, and before the call was over, the woman had surrendered her life to Jesus and forsaken her suicide plans. Well, Reverend Smith went on from that place knowing that however difficult life may seem, the Lord knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how to reach you. He knows when to reach you. And he knows exactly what to say to turn you around. Hey, after all, he's God.
Friend, don't think for a moment that God does not have your number. He knows exactly what is going on. He knows what exit number you've just taken. He knows the ramp you're on, the truck stop you're in. He loves you, and he is going to see you through. Give up those feelings of self-pity. Read those promises for you in God's Word and go on with confidence. This is Mary Niwola with Road Signs.
When you start to doubt if you exist, God believes in you. Confounded by the evidence, God believes in you. And when your light burns so dim, and when your chances seem so slim, and you swear you don't believe in Him, God believes in you. And when you rise up just to fall again, God believes in you. Deserted by your closest friends, God believes in you. And when you're betrayed with a kiss and you turn your cheek to another fist, it does not have to end like this, 'cause God believes in you. And oh, everything matters if anything matters at all. Yeah, everything matters no matter how big, no matter how small, 'cause God believes in you. And oh, God believes in you. So ashamed that you could die, God believes in you. And you can't do right even though you try, God believes in you. Yeah, blessed are the ones who grieve, the ones who mourn, and the ones
believes in you. And yeah, blessed are the ones who grieve, the ones who mourn, and the ones who bleed. You sorrow your soul, but in joy you will reap. God believes in you. And oh, God believes in you.
Well, each month, House of Prayer Ministries reaches out to our local community, to the surrounding counties, and even out to the highways and byways of this country. We do this in a variety of ways, including this production of Highways and Byways, the monthly Christian audio magazine. Contact us if you'd like to have Highways and Byways sent to your address each month, and we'll tell you how to make that happen. Perhaps our approach is unusual and our style is a bit radical for your personal taste. Then again, maybe we've been good company for you over the past hour or so. In any event, I trust that if you need a safe place to share your heart, ask a difficult question, get an honest answer, even if it's, I don't know, that you won't hesitate to contact me here at House of Prayer Ministries through the 24-hour voicemail line, through our email, or good old-fashioned snail mail. All the contact information is on the front of the CD, and we'd be honored to spend some time hearing from you. If you leave a phone number on the voicemail, I'll return your call when I'm back in off the road for the week. Or simply leave a comment, suggestion, or a question, and I'll respond. If it's a prayer concern, know that we have a dedicated intercessory prayer team willing to take your need or your concern for another to the throne of God with the confidence that God will provide His perfect remedy for your concern. As Pastor Hank mentioned in Road Signs, if you don't have the certainty of eternal life with Jesus worked out in your life yet, by all means, contact me and allow me the privilege of introducing you to the only one who can ultimately and completely fill that empty space inside of your heart and show you your real purpose for existing. That's what we're about here. After all of the music, the thoughts and commentary, after the comedy sketches or serious end time reports, we're still left with the biggest, most important question any human being will ever need to give an account for in the end of life inside this fleshly body that we hide inside of for now. The question? What will you do with this Jesus of Nazareth? What will you do with this person who stirs up more controversy than any other person, place, or thing on the planet? What will you do with this name Jesus, a name that so many people in our country and the world at large want to forbid us from speaking of in absolute terms? Well, here's a suggestion. Have a talk with him yourself and then decide what you'll do with Jesus. If you invite him to make himself real in your life and come into your heart of hearts, get ready for an awakening. Get ready for the ride of your life, your eternal life at that. Oh, you may not see fireworks in your life right on the spot. Then again, maybe you will. But if you're like a lot of people in this crazy hustle and bustle right now, don't blink it or you'll miss it world that we're living in, perhaps you'd like to put on that right-hand blinker and kind of ease on over to the slow lane for a little while. One thing I know for certain, and I leave you with for this month, these words of life from Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you who are troubled and weighted down with care, and I will give you rest.
You wanted to see me, Pastor Pinoza?
Yes, sonny. I believe we got a problem. I know I said you could handle the concerts while I was away, but... Well, I've been reviewing this little tape here, and, well, frankly, I'm a little concerned.
Registering a little high on your grief meter?
Well, let's just say I've always seen the Christian life as a somber, reverent, narrow,
dull?
No, not... Well, yeah! Having fun contradicts everything I believe in!
Well, they're already setting up.
Trust me on this one, Ernie. I've been a pastor for 35 years. I've built this congregation up to 27 members. That ought to tell you something.
Yeah, but I sure hate to disappoint 1,200 people.
1,200?
Yeah. They're lined up around the block.
Quiet, Ernie! Quiet, that's God talking!
I don't hear anything.
Of course not. You're just an assistant. Here's $5. Run down to the colonel and get some buckets. We got a show to do.
Some people study diligently to know the truth, to set them free, and that's good as long as love isn't lost. But when their own theology means more to them than anything, well, that's bad, and they'll become a noisy gong. Jesus said to follow him and not your own denomination. Listen closely to the Spirit. Many people never hear it. No. And when you've got it figured out, that's just the time to really doubt yourself. 'Cause you can't put God in a box. He ain't got no limits. Can't put God in a box. He's way too big. Can't be got in a box. It won't last 1 minute. Can't be got in a box. 'Cause he just won't fit. His ways are higher ways than our ways. His love is greater love than our love. He made the galaxies and he made me. He ain't got no limits, can't be got in a box. He's way too big, can't be got in a box. It won't last 1 minute, can't be got in a box. 'Cause he just won't fit.